Welcome to Smart Marketing.
Welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we hope we help you work smarter, think smarter, act smarter, and outthink your competition without outspending them. That is the purpose of the show. We also back it up with our four LinkedIn groups that we ask you to check in with and participate in discussions. Those are the Smart Marketing for Small Business LinkedIn group, the Creative Thinkers Forum, the Creative Thinkers Forum, Fearless Marketing. So we got Fearless Marketing, Creative Thinkers Forum, Celebrities for Marketing, and Smart Marketing for Small Business. My name is Les Wolf. I'm CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia, the host of your show. And we have a wonderful guest this evening, Melody Rush, and I'm going to ask Melody to introduce herself. Melody, are
Hi.
You there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Ah, yes, loud and clear.
Great.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, your company, and then we will get forward on this interview.
Sure, I would love to. So my name's Melody Rush. My company is We Create MVPs, and my specialty is webinars. I've been doing webinars since 2001. It's been a while, almost 15 years. And I spend a lot of time helping people get up and running, using webinars to benefit their business and grow their business through using that medium.
All right. Well, let's get into the webinar, because the webinar is something that interests me a great deal. I've been thinking about doing it myself, so I may come back and pick your brain on that, but I hope to learn from this discussion as well. What kind of businesses basically should consider using webinars?
Oh, that's a great question. Pretty much any business out there should use webinars. I mean, I've worked with clients and customers that have done stuff from, I have one that's actually, he's a dog trainer, so he's been doing webinars on bed bug detection and dog sniffing and things like that. I've also seen webinars on bear management. Certainly companies that have something to train on or talk about their products. So pretty much any company can use webinars to help grow their business and grow their footprint out in the world.
Well, is the main purpose of a webinar to educate and inform?
You know, I think sometimes webinars have gotten a bad rap because a lot of people use them for sales, doing, you know, kind of sales, sort of like the infomercials today. But I think probably 75 to 80% of webinars are actually used to do training, to do education. Worked with several clients that do pretty much all their training online, so it makes it really easy to get, you know, people from, you know, all over the world onto your training into one place, and nobody has to travel, and you can sit at your computer and do that kind of thing. So yeah, I would say the majority of people are using them for education.
Well, that makes a very cost-efficient way of doing it. What are some of the basic steps for a successful webinar?
Yeah, there's a couple of things you want to keep in mind in webinars. One is the technology. So the first thing you really want to do is to find a webinar service that'll do what you want to do. So if you need to attract maybe people that you don't know, so, you know, you basically have two sets. You've got your list of people you know, your current customers, current people that have opted in through other marketing, that kind of thing. Those people, you know, you can just send a link to if you wanted to, and they could attend. But if you're trying to attract people that you don't know, you know, you're doing marketing and things like that, then you want to make sure that you get a webinar service or that you have a service where you can do opt-in or registration pages so that people can sign up with their email address. So that's kind of the first step of getting people to attend. Then using the service, you can, you know, set up your presentation, whatever that may be. You may want to do, I like to call it the talking head. So you may just want to be on camera and talk, or you maybe want to use visual aids like slides or things like that to do your presentation. So then you want to set that up. And really, the big key to being successful is just be yourself. So, you know, once you do your presentation, just be authentic and be who you are on there. And then the final thing is exactly. And then I was just going to finish. The final thing you want to do is follow up with anything you say you're going to do. So if you say you're going to send out, you know, the slides, or if you're going to answer follow-up questions or things like that, then you want to do that. And then I would say the most...
I wish more people would do that, not just with webinars, but in general.
I would agree with you on that.
Well, let me ask you, one of the concerns, everything today is technology, and one of the things that I talk about a lot is no matter what the technology is, you have to know the fundamentals, marketing, communication. But what kind of technology, basic technology, does someone need? And what kind of equipment do they need to get started?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most frequently asked questions I get, and there's really three main things you want to have. You want to have internet, high-speed internet. You want to have a computer, and you want to have that high-speed internet, you want it to be wired to that computer. And then depending on what kind of webinar you're doing, you'll want to have a microphone, a good microphone, because people will forgive a lot of things, but they won't forgive audio. If they can't hear you, they're not going to stay on. And then if you're going to do a webinar where you're going to have, like, live streaming, so you're going to be on camera, then you're going to want to have a nice webcam to stream your video. And honestly, the microphone and camera, you can do that for less than, you know, maybe $150 for both. So they're not that expensive these days to get really high-quality, you know, microphones and cameras.
Okay. What programs would you say are available for hosting webinars? I mean, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so I actually divide the different services out there into five categories. The first category, which would not be what most people use, is it's the professional, and that's what the big corporations use. So that's like Cisco's WebEx, Adobe's Connect, and Microsoft Live Meeting. And those are, people may have attended webinars on those where big companies have used those to do webinars. The second one I call the commercial, and the big one there is GoToMeeting. And you can't go wrong using GoToMeeting. It's been around a long time. It's very reliable. But if you're going to have big audiences, it can become very expensive. There's a ton of them in that category. There's MeetingBurner and Fuzzbox and
if I understand correctly, one of the services that you can offer is you custom tailor a webinar to fit a particular business's situation. So whether it's a meeting or something else, they can rely on your expertise and experience to make it comfortable. Because I know that many of us who are not technology oriented get a little confused. And I know that I alone get scores of from GoToMeeting and other similar companies emails every week. And the key is trying to define what's there. So someone like yourself is, you know, you offer a service that basically makes it much easier for someone who is thinking about a webinar to do it. You know, now, is there a particular best day to host a webinar? And also, what kind of length is it ideal for a webinar? Because I've seen them from a half hour to 3 hours and more.
Yeah, the day of the week is, you know, both of those questions are really dependent on your audience, so who you're, you know, who you're targeting, who would be likely to listen. I would say in general you want to avoid Mondays or Fridays. They tend not to be as well attended, although I've had success on both of those days. But I think typically you're going to see webinars on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then on the weekend, depending on your audience. And then the time of day, if your audience is the U.S., 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time, is a really good time. That hits, you know, it's midday for all the time zones, basically. If your audience is, you know, depending on what you're doing, you may have an audience that, you know, works during the day and can only attend at night. So partly it's knowing who your audience is as to what day and what time of the day. And then your other question, about
the length of a webinar.
Length of a webinar, that was it. Sorry about that. The length of a webinar is really an interesting thing. I think the most common is an hour long. So, 60 minutes of time, you maybe have 50 minutes of content and 10 minutes of questions or something like that. I've also seen people do 30-minute ones and be very effective at it. And, again, it's your audience. If you have an audience of, C-level executives, they may not have an hour to spend with you. If you can do it in 30 minutes, they would appreciate that. And then I've also seen people, like you say, do 90 minutes to 3 hours to 3 days. Sometimes they'll do, multi-day events. So a lot of that really just depends on your audience. Yeah.
Right. The subject matter, who you're trying to reach out with. I know that there's a lot of assumptions that people make related to technology and the techniques that are out there. What are some of the things that people often get wrong when they're doing webinars?
I think there's a couple of things. One, webinars is a little bit different. It took me a little bit of time to learn. Like I said, I started using them really early on, and there was really no one that was teaching how to, really present effectively on webinars. And one of the things people don't do as well, I think, on webinars as they may be doing a live presentation is engagement. And that's really crucial on webinars. And what I mean by engagement is, asking questions of your audience. Some of the services have the ability to do polls. You can also sometimes bring people on to talk, like we're doing here, an interview. Anything you can do to keep people engaged, because in today's world, there's so many distractions, and it's really easy if someone's sitting there, looking at their screen to be distracted by something that pops up or this, that, or the other. So any way that you can keep your people, watching and being engaged with what you're doing. And like I said, asking questions, having them ask questions and answer questions, that's a really effective way to do it. The biggest mistakes I see is people who don't show up on time. And that always surprises me if they set up the webinar and then they're late getting started. Not being prepared or being over-prepared. It seems to be either extreme. So if you show up and you're not prepared, people can tell it, and you kind of go on tangents and don't stay on focus. And then if you're over-prepared, then it's almost memorized, and that's not interesting either for people. If you've memorized your presentation, or if you're reading from a script, unless you're really, really good, most people can tell that, and that's not nearly as engaging as, being interactive with your audience.
Well, you hit a key point. It's something that I try to communicate. I'm a former creative director, a copywriter, as well as a marketing strategist, et cetera. But one of the things I have found that many people have a tendency to preach to an audience rather than interact with an audience. And there's a thing called the WIFM factor. I don't know if you're familiar with it. WIIFM stands for What's in It for Me. Yeah. And that, to me, is the essence of all communication. You have to be delivering something from the perspective of your audience. And if you can structure interaction with them, it's more valuable to them because they get to talk about what's important to them. And nothing is more important than your issues and concerns. So it makes it a much more, I think, effective tool, whatever you're doing with people, whether it's face-to-face or on a webinar or in the way that one does their writing. But I'm sure you've run into some funny things with webinars.
Yeah,
can you share a couple with us?
Sure. Besides the common barking dogs, crying babies, flushing toilets. I've had all of those on there at some point or the other.
Good.
Yeah, I think the funniest one we ever had, and this was an internal webinar I had with the company I was working for, we all were on, my department, and somebody was presenting. I think it was actually me presenting. And for some reason, we got somebody on there that was selling a car. And I don't think they realized, I think they muted themselves instead of muting us, so we could hear every word, and we couldn't get them off. So we actually had to totally restart. Everybody had to get off, and we had to restart the webinar and kick them off. So that was really funny because we were all trying to figure out who it was because we know it was somebody in our group, and they, whoever it was never admitted, and we could not figure out who it was that was selling their car.
That's wild. Now let's take a little pause for a moment and tell people how can they reach you if they are interested in your services.
Sure. They can visit my website, which is melodyrosh.com, and Melody is with an I-E. And that's the best way.
M-E-L-O-D-I-E?
R-U-S-H.com.
Okay.
And I'm there's an email address. You can email us info@melodyrush.com as well. And that's probably the best way to get me on there.
Okay.
And I certainly have other connections. You can find me on LinkedIn and Google Plus and Facebook. My company name is We Create MVP, so I have a Twitter account under that and a Facebook.
Give me the name. You talked too rapidly for my ears.
Oh,
the name of the company again? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We Create MVPs with an S. And that's both my Twitter and my Facebook. And then I also have a Facebook group for webinars, and it's We Deliver. It's Deliver Webinars Like a Pro is the Facebook group. It's named after my book. So you can find that as well in there where I answer a lot of webinar questions.
Well, that's super. Well, I got a lot more questions that I want to ask you. But first, what I want to say to our audience is if there's any topic, any comment that you're interested in addition to our LinkedIn groups, we have a blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, and you can email me at marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, marketingsmartly@AOL.com. If you have any comments, things you'd like to see us add in topics, or even if you have something you can share with our audience, perhaps you'll be a guest as well. But meanwhile, let's get back, Melody. How did you get started as this webinar expert?
Well, I've worked for a large software company for quite some time now. And so when this webinars were rolled out, like I said, back in 2001, and we were asked to use this technology because it was good for the company for us not to travel so much, and we could, you know, reach more people. And the company I work for is a global company, so we work with a lot of the Fortune 500 companies and things like that. So I was just asked to learn how to use this, and it was a little rough to start with because we didn't have any models. We didn't have anybody to follow. And as part of my job, I'm actually asked to take a lot of public speaking courses because I do public speaking as well on stage. And I was having a real hard time just transferring that skill set to webinars. And probably one of the best compliments I ever had, I worked a lot with account reps, and I had a new account rep, and this was probably 2003, 2004. So I'd been doing webinars for 2 years at that point. And one of my account reps said, "You really did a great job doing this." It was a live presentation. And I kind of stepped back and thought, I wonder, you know, why she said that. And I asked her, and she said, "Because you're really good at, you know, stopping and asking questions and taking breaks, you know, pauses as you talk." And I realized that I had learned that from doing webinars. Because in webinars, you don't have, you know, the visual cues that you have from public speaking. And I kind of self-taught myself kind of unconsciously that, okay, you got to slow down. As you can tell, I talk fast, so I have to remind myself to, you know, take a breath and slow down once in a while. And, you know, like I said earlier, to engage with the audience and ask them if they have questions and give them the opportunity to ask questions, since I can't see them and I can't see hands raised or see confused faces or those kind of cues that you might get if you are doing a public type presentation.
Well, that makes sense. What are the essential steps that one has to take before, during, and after a webinar in order to get the best result?
Yeah, I think beforehand, really practicing, you want to, especially if you're brand new to webinars, you want to practice three things. You want to practice with the technology, and that is get on see where the buttons are to push. You know, if you're not very familiar, you may want to hire, you know, a producer or a visual a virtual assistant or somebody to help you, because it is technology and it does take a little bit of time to learn. So you want to practice with the technology. The second thing you want to do is practice your presentation. Like I said earlier, you don't want to memorize it, but you do want to be familiar with, you know, what you want to say. Make sure you have the points that you want to make. And then the third thing is you want to practice the two together. So you want to get on the technology and do your presentation. And, you know, the longer you do it, I would say you don't have to do that third step in the long run because you get more comfortable with it. But you always want to check out the technology and you always want to practice your presentation to help you be successful in what you're trying to do.
Yeah, one thing about presentation skills, something that I recommend to a lot of people, a course I took many, many years ago and they've now upgraded with the digital world, and that is the Dale Carnegie course on public speaking and human relations, on presentations, what have you. If you're not comfortable making presentations, you should get something like that in your background, some training. Because I know that it has been effective for me because I've been lecturing for almost 40 years, and from groups to a conference room to where there were 3,000 people in a room. So...
Yeah, I would agree with you. I started off doing, you know, live presentations, and I was terrified. I was shaking, and, you know, and the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. And like you said, the more training you get in speaking, it's little nuances that you pick up when you're speaking in front of people that make a huge difference, you know, of you being comfortable and your audience being comfortable with you.
No, absolutely, yes, absolutely. Now, well, with all this world of technology, everyone, you know, thinks of, you know, the all the latest technology. But what happens with a brick and mortar store? I can think of ways they can benefit. But what have you found brick and mortar stores benefiting from doing webinars?
Well, I think again, it depends on your business, and I think all businesses can benefit from webinars. A brick and mortar store, you know, you're selling some kind of product or service, and that's where in webinars you can, you know, teach people about the product or service, teach them how to use it. So I don't, you know, webinars are, it's amazing to me some of the topics that I've seen out, you know, being taught on webinars. I guess it's a hobby of mine. I attend a lot of webinars. I probably attend, I don't know, five or six a week. Plus, I present probably that many as well. So I like to see how people are utilizing the technology. But the great thing about it is it brings you and your business in front of your customers. And so whatever your business is, and I think especially brick and mortars can get a, because I don't think many of them are doing it right now. So I think there's a big gain for them to do some stuff. They can figure out how to take what they're teaching or, you know, what they're selling and teach it as part of an online
kind of thing. Well, I think an important aspect of that are the types of visual aids, PowerPoint, things like that. What have you found in general that works most effectively?
I think it's a combination now. You know, it's been really recent that streaming video has been made available, you know, using like Google Hangouts and some of the different tools that are out there. So before that, when I first started doing webinars, all we used really was PowerPoint or software that we were demonstrating. Now, I think a combination of PowerPoint, depending on what you're doing, and also just props. If you're doing streaming video, like we were talking about the brick and mortar, you can be online, I mean, on the streaming video demonstrating a product. I like to do crafts, so I watch a lot of videos on how to, you know, do different crafts I do, and the people are demonstrating how to use products or how to put together different things in crafts. And so they're not using, you know, PowerPoint slides, but they are using tools and different materials to make things. So any combination of that kind of thing, I think is very, again, it's all about engagement with your audience. So what will engage your audience?
Well, in general, why do you think people should add webinars to their marketing and training and sales process? I think one of the reasons is obviously you can reach out geographically without the overhead and expense of travel. But
right.
what other benefits?
Well, one thing you can do with webinars that some people don't realize is when you do a webinar, you can record it. And when you record it, you can then use that recording for a lot of different things. So you can do the simplest thing is just offer replays of it. So people maybe that couldn't attend live, you can also, you know, put it on YouTube. You can break it up and do podcasts with it. I know people that do webinars and turn it into books. So there's lots of ways to utilize that content you've already created for a webinar into different mediums. You know, I'm a webinar junkie. I watch a lot of them, but not everybody is, but they might be podcasts, or they may read books, or they may be a YouTube. I forgot the statistics, but something like, I think for the 20-plus group in there, 20 to 30-year-olds, you know, I think it's about 80% of their time they watch YouTube videos. So that's another way to get your message in front of, you know, different markets. So the great thing about the webinars is, like I said, you can repurpose that content, and I think that's one of the big reasons for using them.
All right, there's a lot for us to cover, and we're not going to cover it all tonight, so I'm going to tell you that I would like to schedule you for another session when your schedule allows it as well. But I want to get a couple of things in there. What's the best advice you have for someone who has no experience and wants to begin doing webinars?
A couple of things. I think if you're brand new, and partly it's going to depend on your technical acumen. So if you're a technical person, you'll probably pick up webinars a little bit quicker than if you're not. If you're not technical, my best advice is to find somebody to help you. You know, you can take courses.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm the least technical person God created.
And I think you utilize that. You know, I am a technical person, and I pay people to do stuff that I can do just because they can do it faster. And for me, the most limiting thing I have is time. So, you know, there's no shame in hiring people to help you and things like that. And so even if you are technical, I will say in webinars, we do this a lot in the bigger webinars. We almost always have extra people on to answer questions, to handle technical issues and all that, and then one person's doing the presentation. So that's another thing to consider, too, if you're brand new. The other thing is just do it. I mean, I was helping, you know, a couple of my friends, actually, and I'm really proud they just did it. You know, they weren't perfect. And they didn't claim to be perfect when they got on. They told the people that they were doing, look, I'm learning this. And it went just fine. And now they're very comfortable getting online and doing webinars.
That's a nice approach. We're going to run out of time, Shirley, but I have a question I want to ask. Is there a price range that people should be thinking about in order to do, let's say, a half-hour webinar? Is there a range of from X to Y or that type of thing?
You know, that's a really hard question to answer. Like I said earlier, there's a price for some equipment, and then there's going to be a price for the service that you use. There are some free services. You can use Google Hangouts. That's free, just depending on what you're doing, again. And then if you want to hire somebody to help you, there's going to be a price there.
I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to run out of time. Tell them again how they can reach you.
Sure. My website, melodyrush.com, MELODIERUSH.com, and you can email me at info@melodyrush.com.
I would also encourage you to go up to our blog, go to our LinkedIn groups. You know, feel free to use them to communicate to our audience anything you want. I will drop you a note. I would like to schedule another presentation because there's a lot more that we could cover in this. So if
I'd
love to get you back on that. And I'm going to throw one quick ad in for our firm, and that is go to our site, our website,
okay.
smartmarketinggroup.com. Check our advisory services, and you'll learn some interesting things. I thank you so much, Melody. You and I will talk shortly. Have a great
Sounds great.
Weekend.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. All right, bye-bye.